Well, that last song is going to kind of fit into what, you know, I've got to share real quick. Sure, we're on here. We're on and popping, right? Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, God, that, Lord, that you came, Lord, to this world, Lord. God, you came when you were born in a manger. Lord, you lived your life, God, in complete obedience to the Father. And God, you went all the way. Lord, you went all the way to an old rugged cross where you'd give your life for us, God. Lord, where you paid for the sins of all humanity. Lord, thank you. Thank you, God, for, Lord, that great work of redemption on the cross. And Lord, thank you that you've called us, Lord God. And we just need to respond to that, Lord God. You rose from the dead on the third day, according to the scriptures. And God, and all of us who believe, Lord, are saved. And Father, that is what we're to go tell the people on the mountain. In Jesus' name, amen. Just wanted to share with you, you know, really about that, about going. You know, as I take a look at scripture, and I take a look at, you know, these many different men that actually were called, and what were they called to do? What they were called to do was to go. And that's what, you know, I find that Glenn and the family here is just amazing thing that God would call them so many years ago to actually go. And where did they go? Well, they went to the least of these. Much like the ministry that God has called me to go to those who are struggling with addiction and all kinds of, you know, life-controlling issues. And you know what all those things are. They're things that destroy people's lives. They're things that, guess what, you and I get wound up in, and they end up causing us complete destruction. And if it wasn't for the Lord intervening in our life, you know, we wouldn't even be here tonight. And I think of the goodness of God, and I think of that. I think of the ministries of U-Turn for Christ and actually Glenn Clark and the family, and I think of, you know, how they're both very, very similar. And I love Glenn and his family, and I am very just blessed every time they play, because I see a family that's actually willing to go. Do you know these guys? They actually travel all over the country. They just told me they were actually up in my hometown of Seattle and spending some time up there and ministering to the Indians. And Glenn, years and years and years ago, would actually call him into the music business, and he'll probably share a little bit about that. But if you want to get to know him, I would encourage you to talk to him and his family here. And he went over here to Nashville, and he had a period over there where he was involved in the music business, and you know what, he didn't really like what he's seen, and God pulled him out of that, and I'm telling you, he's been involved in opening clubs down in Florida that were dedicated to death metal. I got any, who are my death metal guys out there, anybody like death metal? I love the stuff. I used to enjoy it so very much. I still listen to metal. I just don't know if it's death metal. I think it's more or less alive metal now. But anyways, he would have clubs down in, I believe, near Tampa, Florida, and man, and he had all kinds of wicked things going on in his life, and these bands that would play down there, and you know death metal, right? They're pretty hardcore, and his family, you know, would basically, you know, leave that whole lifestyle, and he would get serious about the Lord and ask the Lord, God, what is it you want to do in my life? What would you use me for? What am I here for? What is my purpose? And I ask you that tonight. I ask you to ask that question to yourself. What are you on this earth for? What is your purpose? It's an amazing question, isn't it? Well, God tells us what we're to do. He tells us where to go. And he tells us what to do when we go. And I think Glenn and the family do that. I think they told me they were only home this last year for about a week. They live in a van, man. They had a tour bus they used to travel around in. I'm baffled by it. I'm baffled. What would make somebody do that? What would make somebody, what would be going on inside a person's life to go out like that? The same thing that's going on in your heart and my heart. It's the love of Christ. It's the love of people that need to hear the gospel. It's something that's happened inside of our life that we said, you know what, I'm not willing to continue going down the road that I'm going down. I'm going to quit living for myself, and I'm going to get all about what He would have me do. And that, I'm telling you right here tonight, is a life that is lived out correctly and properly and for the glory of God. That's what it's about. Take a look at Daniel. Take a look at Joseph. You know, come on, take a look at Moses. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it. Is that what are we called to do? What did Jesus tell us to do? The same thing Moses did. The same thing Daniel did. The same thing Joseph did and Isaiah did and Ezekiel did. The same thing the disciples did is to actually go. Go. And you're sitting there going, oh man, I'm leaving. I'm out of here, man. All right, I got my confirmation from Pastor Steve tonight. I'm gone, man. I'm going to the bus station in the morning. Be careful. Careful which voice you're listening to. God's voice would tell you to go. And to go. If you don't go, who's going to go? See, Glenn, Linda, the beautiful family here, they've been going for years. And they ain't stopped yet. And they're going to continue to go. Even though their van actually, you know what, basically just got wrecked. And the one before that, man, the rear end just went out of it that a gentleman from here, from U-Turn for Christ, worked on when we were down at his house a few years ago. He's still going, man. He got a rental van. He said, I'm going to keep going. You know, I'm not going to let some things stop me. I'm not going to let some bumps in the road keep me from what God. What about you? Just ask, what are you doing or what are you going to do? All of a sudden, you're just going to go ahead and say, you know what, it's hard, it's tough. Well, you know what, maybe I'll take a look at the Apostle Paul's life. Maybe I'll take a look at how Peter ended his life. Upside down on a cross. You know, we've been taking a look at the book of Revelation on Friday nights. Why don't you take a look at, you know, the Apostle John? Ain't none of us been boiled in a vat of oil. Ain't none of us was banished to the island of Patmos. No, we weren't. We've got it pretty good, don't we? Americans in general have it pretty easy. Let's take a look at the church over in Indonesia. Let's take a look at the church in Sudan, Africa. Let's take a look at our fellow believers over there in places like China. And something about us, it's easy to get complacent. And it's easy to get lazy. It's easy, man, to just let everybody else do it. But that's not what my Bible reads. Jesus very clearly laid it out for us. And He told us to go. That's what He said. Go. Two letters. G-O. In other words is, get with it. Get with it. Don't waste any more time. There are people that are dying and there are people that are entering into hell, I'm telling you, by the handfuls. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, you know, it's real clearly what Jesus said when we go, what we're to do. You know, and He tells us, He says, go and make disciples. So not only does He tell us what to do, He tells us what we're supposed to do when we are going. You can go, like I said, you can go. You can travel all over the world and still not be in the word, in the will of God. As a matter of fact, a lot of us have probably been running and we've been going too much. But for some reason, we never get what we're supposed to get. Jesus was real clear on one thing. And I believe that Glenn and the family here, it's amazing to see them, because every time I see them, they're eating something and they're growing, man. It's amazing. They're like a, you know, the things in my yard, like the little weeds. I can't keep control of them all. They grow so fast, and it's amazing, you know. And to see them, you know, man, I never heard her do a solo. It's beautiful. It's awesome. You know, they all step in, and man, they just got courage, don't they? Honestly, could you get up here? I'm not kidding. I ain't going to stand up here and sing before you. I ain't going to step up, man, and everybody leave and say, I'm going to be up all alone. Or, I'd do you a favor, I wouldn't do it to you. How's that? I wouldn't, you know, I'll save you. I'll save you the, what is he doing? Dude has lost it finally. I knew he was cuckoo. So, anyways, but ask yourself, are you involved in the Great Commission? Are you involved in it? Are you going? Are you dedicated to making disciples? Is there something burning in your heart to where, you know what, I just got to go tell them? Or I got to go love on them? I love what Glenn does, because he goes into these places. They're dark places, man. You know, he didn't do Asheville this year and stuff, but I'll tell you what, man, we've been up to the square in Asheville a few times. And probably you local boys know all about Asheville anyways. A wicked place, man. And he goes right knee-deep up in it. He goes right in there, right in the big square. Man, and you know what they do? They just feed the homeless. They just put on music. It's love on the people. You know what's amazing is that Glenn don't know this, but you know what? The one thing that impacted me, yeah, I'd been under good, solid biblical teaching for years, and that's a blessing, because it will not return back void. But let me tell you what impacted my life was the kind of ministry that he does. Because there were men in my life that God put in my life that reached out and loved on me when I was a dope addict. When, guess what? I didn't even like myself. I did not dig hanging out with Steve Norman. It got that bad in my life. And you know what? There were some people that God raised up in my life. And you know what? They began to just want to hang out with me, because they had been touched. I didn't know this, but they had been touched by the love of Christ. This family's been touched by the love of Christ. See, they don't have no choice, man. They love going. Even when, man, there's bumps in the road and there's a turn up ahead and it doesn't look like it's going to work out, and somehow or another, he comes through all the time. It's a life of faith. It's a life of walking by faith, not by sight. It don't look like it's going to work out maybe, but we know if God's in it, it's going to work out. You can be assured of it. Ain't nothing stops God's will. So you know what? Are you involved in making disciples? See, how it's going to be for you is going to be different than the way it is for me. Somebody today shared with me today, you know what, I have a burden. I want to be able to help those struggling with addiction. Well, that's what happened to me. These men reached out for me, then they sent me to U-Turn for Christ. God started doing something in my heart. I said, you know what, I want to be involved. I don't want to miss this opportunity. God, I don't want to miss out on what you might have for my life. I had no idea I would be coming to Tennessee. I just wanted to be involved. I want to make disciples. God, I've become a disciple myself. Now I want to be a part of it. You understand? I want to see people's lives changed. I want to see people, man, with their lights, man, come on, man. Their headlights come on for the first time in probably years. If you're blessed, maybe months. Some people come in here, they've only, somehow or another, God calls them in here quickly. But I'm letting you know is that, guess what? God has called each one of us to the same thing. And while you're here at U-Turn for Christ, figure out what that is. Because the ministry God wants you to do might be different than the ministry that he has for me. Or maybe you're not going to be called to go travel around in a van and go all over the country with your family. It's an amazing, amazing life. I'm just baffled by it. I really am. And then I'm encouraged by it. And I love it. I believe, man, it gets back to kind of like the roots of Christianity personally. You know what I'm saying? What did Paul do? What did Peter do? What did John do? What did Thomas do? Where did they go? They went, people, okay? They left their comfort zone and they went out. And you know what? I live here in Tennessee, but I'm letting you know there was a time in my life where I was called out of my comfort zone. And I left. Because God said, Steve, you're going to Tennessee. And I'm like, really? Yes, I have a plan. Are you ready, Steve? On your mark, get set, go. I'm letting you know that's what God is speaking to every life in here. You can listen to it now, or you can spend your life not going. You can spend your life for yourself. You can miss out on God's will until your last breath, as a matter of fact. So many do. But there is a handful of people who take it serious. You told me to go, Jesus, and make disciples of all nations? Yes. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? People making a public confession of their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. People getting saved? Yes. People getting rescued, redeemed, and restored? Yes. It's awesome. And I'm telling you, once you're involved in it, it's like, what in the heck have I been doing? I thought I was called to be a construction worker because I, you know, did it for so many years. And I remember specifically the Lord 12 years ago saying, dude, you're hanging your bags up. It's funny, they're hanging, I think, in the shed right now. I think I put them back in my garage. I still have my nail bags, but I hung them up. They were mine, man. God says, you know what? I'm not going to have you involved in construction no more. I'm having you involved in constructing in people's lives now. I want to use you. Yeah, restoration ministry. That's what God does. God will take you. He'll take your life and he'll show you what to do. Man, while you're at U-Turn for Christ, there's no better time. There's no better place to get this settled, to get this down. You're not just stopping through here for a quick 2-month sabbatical. You ain't just here, man, to go ahead and check in a little bit and get clean and silver. You get clean and silver anywhere. It ain't about getting clean and silver. Now, I will say this. You need to get clean and silver. If you don't get clean and silver, you ain't going to be no use to the Lord. God can't use a vessel, man. It's all tweaked out and messed up and gouged out and all that stuff. He can't do it. But he's cleaning you up because he's got a plan and purpose for your life. There's so many of you here right now. I could see God wants to use you. And there's only one thing that's stopping you. A great revelation I had. I am my worst enemy. Me. Not my background, in and out of prison, can't get a job, can't do this. It ain't society. It ain't President Obama. You know what I mean? It ain't the police. They ain't trying to hold me back. Only one holding me back is me. Until you get that settled, man, guess what? It's going to be a rough road. Don't let yourself keep ripping you off and quit letting the enemy do it. Man, it's amazing, man. The enemy sitter got us like a puppet and we're doing all this crazy stuff and he's just sitting there laughing all the way. All the way as something's going on. Time keeps on slipping, 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 skipping, skipping. You understand? Yeah. Yeah, Steve Miller would have loved that one, huh? I'm telling you, your clock is ticking. My clock is ticking. I guarantee you, you know, the cousin right here of Glenn Clark, I guarantee you, man, he didn't know that it's going to be the last week on this earth. You know, I didn't think so. We don't know, do we? We don't know. That's why the Bible says to redeem the time, because the days are evil. We need to make, because most of us don't live with that mentality, that today might be the last day of my life. Jesus gave us a message. He says, you know, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me. You know, if Jesus said that, I mean, really, and he did, wouldn't it make sense that he's speaking something into each one of our lives? Don't you think that he's actually trying to say something to you and I? Behold, I am coming quickly. Now, we learned last week in the book of Revelation that means suddenly. It doesn't mean that he's coming in the first generation church or the second. Not what he said. He didn't say he's going to be coming right away. It's not what he said. He said, I'm coming quickly. And that word means that, guess what? That when it happens, it's going to be suddenly. As a matter of fact, he says he comes like a thief in the night. How does a thief in the night come? Well, guess what? While we're here at church, guess what? Our house is getting robbed. And they come, and they're coming because they come at a time you don't know. You don't expect. You understand? Christians are to live their lives in such a way that the Lord could return at any time. At any time. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And listen to this next part. Teaching them to observe all things. How many things? Jesus said all things, but all things what? That I have commanded you. Jesus is saying, you need to go ahead and teach people what I said. I want you to teach them everything I said. I don't want you to leave any out. There's no heaven without hell. You understand? There's no glorification without man with sanctification. We got, man, you got, I'm telling you, you can't have it both ways. And you know what? When you start taking it serious, man, I'm telling you, you'll start to experience the blessings of God. And I just share that with you. I just share that with you because I see such great potential with you guys all the time. I see this great potential, this ability, man, to go and do great things for the Lord. Because, man, you guys are excited about the Lord. And you're ready to serve the Lord. And opportunity is there. That's the thing. Opportunity is there. A lot don't want to step to the opportunity, though. They don't want the responsibility that comes with that. They don't. I'll tell you what, I don't know what would have happened if the boys wouldn't have listened to what Jesus said. I'm sure the last part that Jesus said, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age, was very comforting as they were now, okay, he said go. He told us what to go and do. Now we're going to go, but I'm thankful that guess what? No matter where I go, he's with me. He promised me he'd never leave me. He'd never forsake me. And you can be assured of that God is with you. God will not send you out without going with you. It means you've got him, his spirit living in you. And man, I'm letting you know is that, man, that's when things happen. That's when, man, lights come on. That's when disciples are made. That's when people get saved. That's when, like he says, outreach happens. But I'm telling you, before outreach happens, there has to be inreach. There has to be inreach that happens. You see, God reached into Glenn and Linda and the family's heart. He reached down and they opened up and he reached in there and he placed his spirit and he put a burden in their heart. And that burden has had them travel all over the world, actually. United States is the world, believe me. If you take a look at where the disciples went, I think it was a smaller area than the United States of America. Now, they didn't have 15-passenger vans and buses and planes and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? You take a look at what they did. Take a look at the travels of Paul. Do an investigation and find out where Thomas ended up in India, they say. Do an investigation on where the 12 disciples, someday maybe I'll share it with you. I taught it one time. You never hear where Thomas ended up. You never hear where the other James ended up. You never hear what he's just, because these guys all took it serious, by the way. Remember, those are the last words that I just shared with you that Jesus said to them. Each one of them took it serious. Every one of them. And they went out to the known world that time. They turned the world upside down for the Lord, or right side up, as they say. They went out. There wasn't a place they didn't touch. Amazing, amazing work. Done with people on feet and people on boats and probably a mule or two, or as we call them, burros. Okay? They went. I just asked you tonight, what are you going to do? You going to go, or are you going to sit? Let somebody else do it. Hey, I'm telling you, it starts with a burden. It starts with the love. Man, God, you saved me. You use me? Somebody like me? Somebody like you. As a matter of fact, last point here. I'll tell you, not only will God use you, He desires to use you. Why? Because when all is done and said, when you're a knucklehead with a background like me or like Glenn or like every one of you here tonight, looking around here, pretty sure almost all of you got same thing in common I had. Pretty hard at it, weren't we? Went out and got into it deeply, didn't we? Most likely it's easy to think, oh, how could God use me? Well, guess what? When all of a sudden God chooses to use people like you and me, you know why? Because He knows we ain't going to try to steal His glory. Because we're a bunch of boneheads. We're a bunch of knuckleheads. That's what we are, man. We're a bunch of redeemed hoodlums. That's what we are, man. We're a bunch of people, man, that man had a death sentence. And Christ said, you know what? Not him, not her. That one's mine. And He pulls us up and He pulls us up and He dusts us off. And then He says, you know what? This one's mine. And man, you're going to stand up and you're going to speak to people. You're going to love on people. You're going to go out and you're going to do great things for the Lord. And you're never going to, it's not going to be a problem, because you know what? God's going to go, well, you know what? The person remembers where they came from. They know who they were. They ain't going to steal my glory, because they know, man, guess what? Without me, it ain't nothing. And that's just how it is for us, right? Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that echoes in my brain all the time. I want to step out and go try to do something on my own. And I can almost be assured that, you know what? It won't be a success. I've had to prove that to myself over and over again. My best plans have caused me more destruction than everything. But the plan, when I finally line myself up with Him, His plan, whoa, let me tell you something. There are people in here tonight. As I call the prayer team to come forward tonight, I want you to take this serious. And I want you to really take into consideration, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep sitting? Are you going to keep letting the enemy beat the tar out of you? Are you going to keep listening to your flesh, which basically is causing you all kinds of havoc and keeping you from God's good plan for your life? Or are you going to step up here tonight and say, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm spent. The only thing left now, God, here it is. Take it and watch what He does with it. And He'll take it like He did the loaves and the fishes, right? It's what He did. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And He takes it. It wasn't enough. It wasn't even enough to feed, you know, probably 10 people, let alone 5,000. But He takes it and He multiplies it like the loaves and fishes. And we just stand back and go, whoa, what did you just do, God? And people are fed spiritually, physically, emotionally. People's lives are changed. And you just sit there and go, Remember in that story too. Remember this, little side note there. Remember in that story that Jesus broke it and then He gave it to the disciples and the disciples gave it to the people. That's what God wants to do or not. See, God right here, He wants to go ahead and give it to you that you might give it to others. Ain't that cool? He could easily just give it out to us, but He desires to use people just like He's using the Clark family. Just like He's using, man, guess what? A lot of us here at U-Turn for Christ. Got a great leadership here, man. I'm blessed by the men and women that want to serve in this ministry. Blessed by this church and Pastor Gary and the many servants that, man, attend this church and, man, and do a handful of work here in this ministry right here of Calvary Chapel. Amen? Stand before the Lord. And Lord God, we stand up before you. And Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, you would allow us to take this message serious, God, your message, to go and to make disciples of all nations. Give us a burden. Give us a desire. Help us to remember the people who went. They went. They were obedient. And they came to us. And they preached the gospel to us. They loved on us. They showed us the love of Christ. Many of us here have been affected by these folks. We want to be one. We want to be one here tonight. We don't want to miss out on our opportunities that lay right here at our feet. And I pray, God, you would do something by your Spirit. We thank you. We thank you for the Clark family. Thank you for them just stopping by. Just stopping by to bless us with music. But it's much more than that, Lord. See, there's a lifestyle that they're living that we can see that's real. It's real. And I consider them, Lord, friends, fellow brothers and sisters, and fellow saints in the household of God. Just neat how you use all of us differently. And there are men and women here tonight that when they say, I'm going to go, Lord, you're going to show them the style of ministry they're going to have. It's going to be different, most likely, than what the Clark family's doing, what we're doing. And so I know right now, you're probably right now talking to a few of the guys and gals here. I pray they respond to that. That's what you asked. And for the next couple songs here, help us to be just in an attitude of asking, Lord, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? Why did you bring me to U-Turn for Christ? Why is the Clark family here tonight? It's much bigger probably than we think. And then you're going to enable us by your Spirit to go do that which you want us to do. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.